Welcome, Track 3, and I am Pastor Brent Oakwin, and I serve as a pastor of seminary and soul care here at Faith Church, and we're thrilled that you're participating in this conference and learning God's truth in whatever way that you possibly can. I'm very appreciative and encouraged by people who are willing to take time out of their weekly schedule, out of their daily schedule in order to continue to refine their understanding of God's Word and to be better stewards of it. If you will, please make sure you turn into your notes to the section called The Counselor's Study of God's Word, or I have it entitled here as The Introduction to Hermeneutics. Let me just make a couple of initial observations or considerations before we launch into our studies. If you look at your notes, you say, oh my goodness, there's like 13 pages of notes there, and that's right. Everything that I'm going to say here is in your notes, but we're not going to go through each one of those pages, so you can relax that this is not going to be like a five-hour seminary lecture. There's no blanks. There's no blanks in your notes either, so you don't have to watch my PowerPoint occasionally. You'll see my screen. You may be seeing it now, but you'll see my screen as I do some interaction with my screen and the study of God's Word and the notes that I want to draw your attention to. But there are no blanks, so you can kind of sit back and relax and just listen. My hope, my desire for you is that this lecture would motivate you to continue to study and behold the power and beauty of God's Word as you study it and as you get better and study it. So I hope at the end of this lecture you will be motivated to be a more careful student of God's Word because you see the power and beauty of it, and you want to make sure you're handling it correctly. Now, let me start with a question here for you. And in a normal scenario where I was teaching this lecture in the midst of a crowd, I would be interacting with you and getting your answers to you and just doing a little bit of fun interchange with you. But since we're not, just think about this in the privacy of your own home there and in the midst of your own thoughts. True or false question. So it's on your notes. God will use his word to transform me and or my counselee, whether I understand his word or not. So think about that. Is that true or false? You say, Brent, you know, yeah, that's true. God can do anything he wants to do. And of course, I would acknowledge you that that's true. He can do anything. He's powerful enough to speak through a donkey and to make somebody understand. If you don't understand his word, he can make you understand it. Of course. But let me say something here. Okay, you see if you can understand what I'm about to say. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashemayim ve'et haaretz. Now, that actually was God's word. That actually was Genesis 1:1 in Hebrew. Did it mean anything to you? Those of you who knew Hebrew could probably pick it out. Those of you who didn't thought, hey, did he just start speaking in tongues or something like that? My point being, when I spoke in Hebrew, and if you did not understand it, it meant nothing to you. And it didn't convict you. It didn't transform you in any way. It was just a bunch of gibberish to you. So I understand that God can do anything that he wants to do, but he expects us to do what he's asked us to do and be good stewards of his word, to understand what his word says. Let me illustrate what I'm trying to make by this true-false question. If you will, turn your attention to the notes in Nehemiah chapter 8. And Nehemiah was written after the Babylonian captivity. So the children of Israel had gone into captivity for 70 years. And what tends to happen in a foreign country, generational, a couple of generations of children go through, but they don't speak the same language of your ancestors because they're in a different country. They've lost the ability now to understand your original tongue, Hebrew. They learned a different language those 70 years in captivity. And Nehemiah comes back and he's restarting the theocracy of Israel. And here is what Nehemiah, as he was beginning to help the children of Israel to restart the theocracy of Israel. Here's what Nehemiah 8 says. And all the people gathered as one man at the square which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe. Ezra the scribe knew Hebrew. He knew the scriptures at that point in time, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel, and it was written in Hebrew. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, all who could listen with, notice the word there, understanding. So true or false, God can transform his people whether we understand his word or not. Look at verse 3. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women who could understand. And all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. The Levites, those who were entrusted with the Torah and the law, they had to explain it to the people while the people remained in their place. And they read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood. Then Nehemiah, verse 9, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people were weeping when they heard. And the implication there is not just heard, but they understood. Their response came when the word of God was translated, explained, and they understood it. So true or false, the word of God can transform me whether I understand it or not. Well, based upon this, Nehemiah had to make sure that the people understood the truth of the word of God. And when they did, they began to weep. This is not different than what we see in the New Testament as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when Paul was dealing with the mess in Corinth and the misuse of the spiritual gifts there, Paul says this, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what will I profit you unless I speak to you, either by way of revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? Yet even lifeless things, either flute or harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or the harp? For the bugle produces an indistinct sound. Who will prepare himself for battle? So also you, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world, and no kind is without its meaning. If then I do not speak the meaning of a language, I will be to the one who speaks a barbarian, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me." Here's my point. We need to make sure that we understand the word of God and teaching it accurately to our counselees. That's where the power and the transformation lies. Accurate understanding of the word of God. And that is consistent throughout Scripture. When God talks to his leaders in his church about handling the word of God, he exhorts them to be accurate with the word of God. So, for example, and again, I'm not going to go through every one of these notes, but to take a look at James chapter 3, verse 1. "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that we will incur a stricter judgment." And also notice 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy, what Paul says to young Timothy, the pastor, "Be diligent to present yourself approved of God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Why? So that we understand what God says. And then also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift that is within you, which was bestowed upon you by the prophetic utterance and the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all." Folks, I do understand that sometimes what we see in Scripture is hard to understand, and it is painful trying